Hey there, balanced bosses. This is Stacy, your balanced lady boss, and welcome to another episode of the Balanced Lady Boss Show. This is where lady bosses can come to get their deep reflections, they can come to get their rejuvenation, they can come to get just real talk from an authentic place about all things life, love, and leadership. These are the three areas that boss ladies have to balance, and I'm here to give you the real talk, the real scoop, the realness on my life, and hopefully help you with lots of the things that are going on with yours. So check in with me. How are you doing? Hey there, balanced bosses. Thanks again for joining another episode of the Balanced Lady Boss Show. I'm really looking forward to today's conversation because this is the one that you will want to listen to until the end. And I'm not saying that just to get you to listen to the end. I promise you. The reason I'm saying that this is the one you want to listen to the end is because I am sharing the four things that I am doing this year to guarantee my results. And when I say guarantee, I don't mean like it's a hopeful wish, it's something that I think is gonna be a possibility. No, I'm talking about, I'm giving you my four surefire ways for making 2020 my actual year of intention, right? And these are simple things, but guys, there are things that we miss, and there are things that I have missed in the past that have made me totally screw up my year, where I set out to have these amazing things done and completed, and I'll know some of the things that were really important to me that would have made a significant impact, not just in my life, but in the lives of others. I wasn't able to complete them. And so I started to think about, you know, boy, what exactly is it that I am not doing well? You know, why is it that you can have so much success, Stacy, and yet still, you know, just to get it over that little tipping point, what is that tipping point for you that is going to help with really maximizing how you achieve your amazingness this year? And I came up with a little bit of a formula, and I want to share it with you guys today. And today is the day to share it. You know why? Let me tell you, this is the most important week in January. And I'll share that as well, why this is the perfect time to actually do this work. It's not the beginning of the year. Like, I mean, it is still quote unquote the beginning of the year, but it's not the first week in the year. It's not even the second week in the year. This is the week where this type of detailed work is most critical. So get your pen and paper. And if you're driving, I tell you, you need to like, look at where the different points are, take a picture on your phone, whatever it is. I need you to make notes. Go back and listen after you have been driving and couldn't take notes. Go back and listen another time, because this is the episode you want to hear. If you want this year to be your tipping point where you are literally becoming a catalyst for yourself to move into that epic greatness, trust me, guys, you want to get these four tips that I'm about to drop. So let's get to it. Check in with me. Are you ready to boss 2020? I hope so. Join me on this episode of the Balanced Lady Boss Show. Okay, so I know that hype up was a little bit dramatic, don't? Yeah, I love a little drama. I'm actually sitting here sipping my tea. I just finished recording my first episode of what's going to be my habit that I'm going to be doing on LinkedIn. I have this whole idea that I came up with to do 20 tips. No, not 20 tips. 20 seconds on my 20 years of leadership in 2020. And let me tell you something. What I realized first and foremost is that I cannot speak for just 20 seconds on any one topic. It's really bad, guys. So I'm going to have to work on that part. But I think what's most important is really the meaning or the intention behind all of the activity and the messages that I'm going to be sharing with you guys. So if you're in your car and you're driving, drink your coffee or drink your tea. I'm drinking mine. And let's get to it. Let's get straight into the tips. We're all busy people here. So first tip, destroy the default. And the reason why I'm starting with this tip is because it is also the reason why this week is the most important week for this conversation. I was watching some videos about planning for the year, etc., and I found some statistics that talked about the time when most people start falling off their new habits that they have set up to get them, you know, achieve greatness in the new year. So right around now, between the 15th and the 20th of the month, is when everybody start to fall off shape. So you're rounding week 3 of the new year. The partying and the nostalgia and the excitement and the inspiration from everybody else buzzing about it being a new year has worn off or is starting to wear off. We've taken down the Christmas tree and we've, you know, gotten back into the rhythm at work, and we start our meetings and you're getting people pulling at you left, right and center. And so you have literally started to move back into your default mode. And so my first tip is to destroy the default. And how are we going to do that? Let me tell you how I am doing it. The first thing I'm doing is I'm shaking up my default calendar. What does that look like? That looks like I have 4 calendars through which I operate. They're combined and my assistants manage all of them, right? I had a default calendar, which basically is the place where I put blocks of time that say no meetings here, email and Asana check here, social media check here, content creation. You know, so I have blocked out time in my calendars that are for specific things. So as a calendar fanatic, and let me tell you guys, it was actually one of the things that really worked for my workaholism. If you want a boss being a workaholic, get yourself a default calendar, all right? You'll feel like you're cooking with not just electric, but gas and electric, okay? Throw some LG up in that mo, right? So what I realized is that I was moving into the new year with my same default calendar. Now, I did it in 2019, you know, I kept my default calendar and maybe I switched around some meetings, but my default was the same. For 2020, You know why it's not staying? I have to destroy the default because the person I'm being in 2020 is not the same person I was in 2019. It's just not. I'm taking myself to another level of greatness and I'm being very deliberate about it to the point where I'm talking about it consistently, because if I don't talk about it, then my ass ain't gonna do some of the shit that I have planned to do. Okay, so I kind of have to hold myself accountable through my community to my greatness. So yeah, destroying your default means looking at your default calendar, if you have one, and literally ripping it up. Like, I'm literally going to go through, and my assistants are going to kill me, and I'm going to delete all of my defaults. They're going to kill me. I'm pretty sure they are. And I'm going to get really clear about what exactly it is that I am going to be making a priority for me this year, because your priority is what you set in your default calendar. Now, if you never have a default calendar in the first place, if you are a leader out there and you are thinking, yeah, I'm a boss it, and you're a woman, which means that you have multiple things that you are doing, whether or not you have a family. You have multiple things that you're doing. And if you don't have a default calendar, you are setting yourself up for failure. Categorically. I'm not even like joking around with that. All of the greats have defaults. And you want to be, whether you're deliberate or not, you want to have a default calendar in place. So how do you create a default calendar? It's very simple. You literally just look at your week ahead. I typically do a week view and then a month view to help with the setup, right? And what you can do is you can think about, when am I most productive? Like, when do I have my brain firing like that? You know, when does that happen? Is it early in the day, or is it usually like after lunch, you know, after I've kind of gotten emails and some quick type of things out of the way? When do you do your best deep work? That's what you want to figure out. For me, it's in the mornings. I do my best deep work in the mornings. And so what that looks like is, certain mornings I just don't have any meetings, right? So when you look over your calendar, you know, block out, if it's even 3 days in the week, block out where 3 mornings you just don't have any meetings, and you put in there deep work time, right? So you can just automatically set it up for deep work time. And guys, let's talk about the weekends as well. When you're looking at your week, I never look at my week as just Monday to Friday. I look at my week Monday to Sunday. And for many persons, they look forward to Friday because it's the weekend. I'm shifting how I'm looking at that. That used to be the default way of being. I want to be able to have a Friday on a Wednesday. I'm changing my life to accommodate that, right? And so what I mean by that is I don't want to feel like I have to wait until a Friday before I can start feeling like I can relax. If I have a very long stretch of hectic work cycles, I'm going to drop a Friday in there right around the middle of the week where I'm just going to check out of the office. I'm not coming in today and I'm not coming in tomorrow because this is going to be where I place my weekend. You can actually create that with proper planning, right? So I am destroying my default and I'm recreating it. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and look at what my week looks like. What is in my calendar this week? If nothing is in there and I know I have meetings, then I'm going to say, okay, where do I want my meetings to be? Do I need to move what's in place? Or do I need to find the next week opportunity where I can start having better control? So for example, guys, if you realize that the next 2 weeks for you are already planned out, don't stress out yourself with trying to reorganize that. No, look for your first light week, right? And start to put in your default calendar at that time. And do not fall into the trap of, oh, this week is not really light because I was thinking I was going to do so and so. So let me push it to the next week. No. At this point, and I'm a very busy woman, I'm currently booked out in terms of like meetings or speaking engagements through like April, right? Because I have kids that I plan vacation and all of that kind of stuff for. And I can go into my calendar now and change out my default calendar starting February. You get what I'm saying? So first things first, is you want to really think about, when do you flourish the most? When is your best time for thinking? And that's going to be either early in the day or late in the evening. And that is going to be where you're going to put your deep work blocks. You want to put at least 3 deep work blocks in your calendar. Then you want to slot in things that are for meetings, right? You want to slot in things that are your meeting times. So the next thing to do would be to say, okay, so if I'm not doing deep work, then it would be time for meetings, because meetings don't necessarily require you to have the same level of brain functionality that your deep work does. So next thing is the time that is most functional for me is functional for me in an easy way where I'm not like trying to be highly, highly concentrated. I can collaborate, I can brainstorm with others, etc. That's where you put your meeting blocks. So my meeting blocks will most likely come from lunchtime through to the afternoon. I don't mind having meetings over lunch. I know they have a rule that says that you really should try to step away from your desk for lunch and do all of those things. And I will incorporate that in my calendar from time to time, but it's not going to be my everyday. That's just not how my life is structured. Right? So also be gentle with yourselves, guys. You know, don't try to match up on everybody else's recommendations for how you should be leading your calendar life. So for example, you have a thing that says you need to step away from your desk for lunch every single day. That does not work for me. And it actually brings me more stress when I try to comply with that. But it is a good tip. So what do? I make sure that in my work week, Monday through Friday, I have 2 days where I step away from my desk for lunch. I might meet a friend, or I might go upstairs, or I might eat lunch with my team in one of the boardrooms and we're not working, we're just having lunch and chatting, right? And then on the weekends, I make sure that I have time scheduled for wonderful meals with my kids or with my love partner, whatever. That's how I manage that, because it brings me more stress to try to do the other thing. So where were we? We're at meetings. So you've already set up your deep work time. The next thing is your meetings time. All right. So you block your calendar for meetings. Now, the biggest time suck that a lot of female leaders experience is checking emails or checking your daily to-do lists and also checking social media feeds. So my next recommendation, this is recommendation number three now, is to put in 15-minute slots for email and to-do list checks and 15-minute slots for social media checks. I do not recommend that you have more than two social media checks per day. If you are using social media in your business, like if you're a marketing person and you know you're you do digital marketing, then clearly you're going to need more time than that. But that shouldn't be structured as social media checking. What I'm talking about is scrolling through the feed, checking your friends to see what they're up to today, looking at your DMs to see who has slid in. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You want to put that aside a time just for that. And when you are working in social media, that should also be on your calendar as a meeting slot. Or if the work you have to do is like creating content, which is deep work, then it gets slotted into your deep work time. Don't get caught in the time suck loop of trying to build content and check feeds and check your DMs. Let me tell you, that's something that caught me in 2019 because I was working so much on content, but I would get pulled by all the attractive posts that my friends are putting out and wanting to support them and comment. And no, I'm literally going to be slotting very specific times for that during the course of my day. It will look like two 15-minute slots, once during lunch and again once in the evening before I do my wind down stuff for social media. For email and Asana check, I probably do that three times a day. Once early in the morning before I start my deep work. And I'm not going in there to sit down and answer emails for an hour. No, I'm taking that 15, 20 minutes max to check through. And if there's anything urgent, to answer it. If there is something that's going to require more work, then it's going to get slotted into one of the other times. Okay, so I'm slotting it at the beginning of the day, sometime in the middle of the day, maybe in between a meeting or two, and then at the end of the day before I shut down my computer. You get what I'm saying, guys? So I'm destroying my default and I'm recreating a new default calendar. And oh, guess what? The biggest shakeup is going to be for me for 2020. I am merging all of my calendars into one. So instead of having a calendar that is associated with Epic Transformation and a calendar that's associated with my Gmail and a calendar that's associated with my ICD group, and no, we just, everybody, I merge up into one calendar, one. And it is the one calendar that I check the most. Okay, so everything is going to be in that one place. And quite frankly, I don't even know why. I think I was in my head, I thought, you know, maybe I need to separate all these different areas of my life. But what I realized is that by the time I was done, I was merging all of them to view them as one in one place. And the one place I was viewing them was on my ICD calendar. So we're going to abandon all of that. And I know my assistant's probably listening to this podcast and she's thinking to herself, oh my God, I'm going to just die already. I need to destroy my default of having this woman as a client. Like, I swear to God. Okay, so destroy your default. That was probably where I would have spent the most time, because that is going to be the foundation for how we build on all the other things that you're going to be doing. All right? So, item number two is get accountability that works. I am an obliger. In terms of how I form tendencies, you know, Gretchen Rubin has this Four Tendencies book that she wrote, and she actually has a quiz that she takes. And what it helps you to understand is how you form new habits. And at this time of the year, some of the things that people run into as problems with keeping their new habits going are really because they don't know what type of habit former they are. Now, the four types of habit formers or tendency types that there are is an obliger, a rebel, a questioner, and an upholder. And I'm not going to get into the details of it. Did I do a podcast on that? Maybe I'll do a podcast episode on it and invite Gretchen to be a part of it. But ultimately, for me, and this is how the accountability thing comes in, for me, being an obliger is somebody that likes to be more accountable to their external forces or people than to themselves. And so how that shows up for Stacy is that if Stacy is doing something, she needs to have an accountability partner. And in order for that accountability partner to work, it has to be somebody that is aligned in what you're working on and wants it as badly as you do, or even more in some cases, right? So it's not just enough to get an accountability partner that is in the same program as you, because I've done that. I've taken coaching, group coaching programs that accountability partners are a part of the coaching program, where they assign you accountability partners. And I've gotten some really nice people to work with. And the truth is that having them as accountability partners didn't always work. And when I checked it out, what I realized is that, one, they may not have been aligned in terms of the goals that we're going after. And two, they didn't want it as badly or more than me. Right? And so in looking at the things that I wanted to achieve this year, I have a really big goal around this podcast and this community and really bringing a lot of value to you guys, right? And so I realized, you know, I really need to look at having an accountability partner just for what I'm doing with this community. And I chose somebody that's going to actually be a guest on this show. Her name is Keisha Franklin, and her company, Keisha Franklin LLC, is a coaching company. She's a certified energy leadership coach under IPEC, and I've had her on my live podcast before, the video recorded one. There's actually now going to be a YouTube channel dedicated to that. I know you guys are going to be excited about that. And Keisha and I actually have done a couple of things together. And so as I was thinking about, you know, really bossing the Balanced Boss course and bossing the Balanced Boss coaching program, and I was like, you know, no, I really need to have somebody that I can work with that is either doing something similar. She don't have to be creating a Balanced Boss anything. It's just something similar, and we're focusing on similar goals, and the person wants it as badly as me or more. And Keisha is a part of one of my masterminds as well. And at one of our recent meetings, our Christmas brunch that we had, one of the things that Keisha talked about was how badly she wanted a lot of the things that she was going to do in her business space. She was really going to be focusing on her business and doubling down on her course that she was going to be doing, which is actually one of the things that I'm going to bring her on to talk about, because you guys are also her target, right? And so you may benefit from that coaching. But when I started to think about that, she was the first person that came to mind, because we actually are aligned in the things that we are focusing on. She wants it just as badly, if not more than me. And I said, you know, let me reach out to Keish and ask her if she wanted an accountability partner to focus on this stuff with. And there was another reason why I chose Keisha. Keisha and I were also accountability partners on our love journey. And this is something that we both made a deliberate and intentional commitment to working on each other with back in 2016, actually. And we decided that we were going to be each other's accountability partner in the space of creating love in our lives. And let me tell you, you best believe that we both now have amazing love relationships with some wonderful, wonderful men that through our work and through our different formulas that we came up with and our intentionality around it, yeah, we made that shit happen, like no joke, okay? And so I thought, you know, if it is that we were so successful, and when I say so successful in love, you know, guys, it doesn't mean that we didn't have challenges and all of that, right? But we found a formula and we worked the formula and everything, you know, kind of eventually panned out, yeah? If we found that we had such great success there, then why not over here in this space of building wealth and serving our community that we're most aligned with, why don't we partner up there too? And so I created an enrollment conversation with Keisha. I didn't just assume that she was going to say yes because she's bossing it in other areas. So I created an accountability conversation with Keisha. And it was amazing. It was amazing. She agreed. And we've set up our framework. We now have our schedule. She's now in my default calendar. Like, guys, yes. So I went back and I checked on what accountability I needed to make sure that I created a habit that was going to support me in this journey. And so working with an accountability partner that works is the thing that came out for me. So figure out what your habit tendency is, right? That's the first thing that you do. And then after you figure out what your habit tendency is, then the next thing that you want to do is you want to get things going with accountability that works for you. Be deliberate and intentional about setting that stuff up for yourself. Okay? So that's tip number two, get accountability that works. And now let's move on to the third tip. The third tip is tackle the tools. And I know that for many of us leaders, we rely very heavily on our tools. As a matter of fact, I talked about two tools so far. In the beginning, I was talking about your calendar, which is a very powerful and probably the most commonly used tools for most leaders. And in the second tip, I pointed out an assessment that I use. Right? So what's going to end up happening is when you look at the things that you are trying to achieve for the year, you're going to notice that you'll need to have tools to support you in delivering on the goods. And it's important to not have fear or annoyance or frustration around the tools before you start to even use them. And I've gotten caught in this trap myself. For example, one of the things that's a big win for me this year, or will create a lot of big wins for me, will be to be on social media consistently. What tends to happen for me is that whenever I have more activity in any particular area of my life, posting to social media takes a nosedive, right? And until I get a consistent support system, I'm going to need to really be batching my content. Now, it's not that I wasn't aware of that, the fact that it's better to batch content because I have a busy schedule and I'm trying to maintain a certain level of performance and balance. But I didn't want to spend several hours working on multiple days worth of content. I consider that a time suck. Well, let me tell you something. Me not tackling a content management solution like a Hootsuite or a Buffer or a HubSpot in order to help me to plan my content ahead of time has actually created more time sucks for me when I'm trying to put out a post and I don't feel inspired, or I can't find the words, or I can't find the picture. And so something that was supposed to take me 10, 15 minutes has now taken an hour of my time. Right? So what am I tackling? As at January 19th, 2020, I'm tackling Hootsuite because I recognize that I really do need to get my content game up another level. And so I'm taking that tool on. And already I can tell you, I ran into snags and I decided, you know what? It doesn't matter. You ran into snags, too bad for you. You need to just keep on keeping on and figure it out. And if you don't figure it out with that tool, then choose another one. But you're going to get a tool that is going to support you with that particular deliverable because it's such a high priority for your 2020 success. So I'm being very specific. You know, when I talk about tackling the tools, I'm not telling you to go out there and learn a million and one different things to use for every single thing on your to-do list. No, there are going to be certain things that are a priority that actually support you in getting to your goal. And those are the tools I'm talking about. I'm talking about the tools that support you in getting to your goal. So tackle your tools, all right? So you scan your goals, see what things you need to learn, what tools do you need to employ, whether it's a social media tool, a digital marketing tool, it could just be a writing tool, it could be a calendar. It doesn't have to necessarily be any kind of complicated software. It could be your calendar, right? You want to learn how to tackle those tools. And then last but absolutely not least, and possibly my favorite out of the four tips, is find your feel good. And what do I mean by that? Well, I don't know about you, but I am way more productive and way more impactful with my work with others when I am in my happy place, or what I like to call like my zen, you know, when I'm in my space of bliss and feeling delicious. What we want to be able to do is we want to be able to get access to that place as easily and as quickly as possible whenever we are setting out for our day. So one of the tips that I actually gave this week in my 20 years of leadership tips, right, was making every day day one, right? So what I'm referencing is feeling like it's your first day on the job, where, you know, you're pumped up, you're excited, and you just want to make a great first impression, and you want to add value, and you want to feel good all around. You know what that feels like, right? Or maybe it's that first date, you know, that first date where you kind of have a little bit of nervous energy, and ultimately, you know, you're really excited about the experience that you're gonna have. You're looking good, you're smelling good, you're feeling good, you know, so that feeling. Or maybe it is when you get a special gift that you didn't expect, you know, that unexpected little surprise. Maybe you showed up to your office and somebody brought you lunch, and, you know, you didn't have any time to get it, so you were really appreciative. Whatever that feel-good feeling is, if you can identify what it feels like when you're most happy and when you're most productive in that happy space at work, and see about what words would you use to describe that? What memories could you use to evoke that, and jot them down somewhere? Jot them on a little piece of sticky note paper or on a notepad that you keep on your desk. And whenever you start to feel annoyed, frustrated, stressed out, burnt out, look at your sheet of paper. Bring to mind the things that help you get to your happy place, get to your feel good, because I'm all about the feel good this year. Yes, I want to be successful, and yes, I want my initiatives to 100x and 1000x and all of the wonderful great terms. I want that enjoyment, that success, that joy. I want that. And I also always want to be able to get back to my core underlying space of deep contentment. And on top of that, I want to layer it on with happiness and giddiness and whatever that feeling is. Because I know that I do my best work when I'm in that place. You know, some people talk about working well under pressure. The truth is, because that's what we've been taught. We've been taught to work when we are stressed out, and to produce when we are stressed out. But just because you've been taught to work that way does not mean that that is when you're most productive. I guarantee that if you look over last year and see the times in your life when you were most happy, you would also be able to align that time to when you were most productive or most creative, innovative, coming up with those big picture ideas, finding solutions where you originally were only able to see problems. So that's tip number four, guys. Find your feel good. And tip number three was tackle the tools. Tip number two was get accountability that works. And tip number one was destroy your default. So that's it, ladies. That's my time for us today on the Balanced Lady Boss Show. I hope you will be able to use these tools to guarantee your 2020 vision success. For this year, we don't have time to be playing, guys. This is the week to be digging yourself, you know, into sinking your teeth into those goals that you have, really starting to visualize what it will be like at the end of the year when you're celebrating your outcomes. Start to find that vision in your mind that makes you feel the chills all over, you know. Maybe you have this one big project, and boy, if you just finish this one big project and that big bonus that come with it, or maybe it has nothing to do with the bonus. Maybe you're one of those persons that just likes to be able to mark the things off the list. That's me. I love to cross a line through a to-do item, boy. Right? So whatever it is that gets your goose going, these four tips are guaranteed to get you to your tipping point. And so I hope they work for you. I'm using them in unison. It's not just picking one here and there, right? It's all four at work. Okay. So all the best for this week and all the best for 2020 and beyond. Talk to you soon on another episode of the Balanced Lady Boss Show.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.